expect for a mu'min, there are two moments of joy. One, at the time of iftar, and two, at the time of meeting his Rabb. Given that the topic is celebrating and celebrations, the hadith puts us into the framework that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon a Muslim joy as well. And given that celebrating and celebration is about joy, for a Muslim, it is not one to promote fitna. As we will show later in the program, that the celebrations of the century and the way of the kuffar is to promote fitna. We start now with a question, inshallah. Providing an answer, then we will step the whole program into motion. Whenever there was a question that came to me and it was answered, it says, what is the position of celebrating New Year's Day in the Sharia? And alhamdulillah, the answer is very clear cut. The 1st of January is the first day of the new year of the Gregorian calendar. It is interesting to note the beginnings of the New Year's Day and what customs were associated with it. The World Encyclopedia states, the Roman ruler Julius Caesar established January 1 as New Year's Day in the year 46 BC. The Romans dedicated this day to Janus, the god of gates, doors and beginnings. January was named after Janus, who had two faces, one looking forward and the other looking backward. The early Romans gave each other New Year gifts of branches and sacred trees. In later times, they gave coins imprinted with pictures of Janus or gold-coveted nuts. Thus, it is evident that similar to Christmas, the Gregorian New Year itself and the celebrations that go with it have its basis on batil, religious customs. Therefore, a Muslim and New Year celebration should be light years apart, jahiliyyah. This should not be treated lightly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, you regard it as trivial, whereas by Allah it is serious. It is reported that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, he found the people celebrating on 2 days of the year which were celebrated for the days of jahiliyyah, that is the days of ignorance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade them from celebrating on these 2 days and declared, Allah ta'ala has given you two better days in return for it, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, and this comes from Mishkat. Perhaps somebody may label this prohibition of participating in these kuffar celebrations and wishing them Merry Christmas, etc., as fanaticism. Indeed, every true Muslim is fanatical about safeguarding himself from kuffar and shirk, or anything that has even a slight association with them. It is the dictates of our iman that we totally shun all things that are associated with kuffar and shirk. May Allah Ta'ala keep us firm and steadfast on iman and save us from anything that has even the slightest association with kuffar and shirk at all times. Alhamdulillah, that completes our introduction to the program, and would like you to keep in mind that this is a phone-in. You can phone us on 011-854-6854. Well, then at this point in time, can we just pick up the issue of celebrating in terms of Ramadan, being it our important month? How should we actually celebrate, if that's the correct word to use?
Firstly, let me comment on that fatwa that was given by Mufti Mahmood Saab, Rahmatullah Ali. And Mufti Saab is outlining a basic thing that for a Muslim, the Sharia will dictate the occasions of joy, and the Sharia will determine the occasions of celebration, and the Sharia will determine, in fact, every aspect of life. And whether the occasion is of grief or joy, depression. So the Sharia has given us a total guidelines. Now, this Saturday is the Christmas day. And next Saturday we have got the New Year's Day. And maybe, perhaps, if the moon is sighted, and then we'll have Eid on a Saturday. So the three Saturdays have got two celebrations which have got nothing to do with Islam. And one, the Eid, and the hadith that has been read, that when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into Madinatul Munawwara, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replaced the two so-called celebrations with two better days, meaning the two Eids, the Eid al-Fitr and the Eid al-Adha. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us a direction here, that the occasions of joy have been specified, and the occasions of how to celebrate also have been stipulated. So basically the Shariat is giving us a guideline as to what is good. Here we must understand a basic rule, Abdullah. And that is that the Shariat is complete and the Shariat is perfect. And the Shariat is detailed. The Shariat of Islam has not left what we call, we hear these days these slogans, that it is my choice, or it is my way of life, or I can do what I want, when I want, how I want. The Shariat has demarcated that this is good and this is bad, and this is beneficial and this is detrimental. And this will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shariat has not left the concept of good in the hands of men. For example, in any given room, if there are 30-40 people, and if we have to discuss that what is good and what is bad, then 30 people will provide 30 different opinions.
Absolutely.
What will happen at the end of the day, we are going to get chaos and confusion. Now, when Shariat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our Rabb, who is our creator, who is our sustainer, who is our provider, who is our nourisher, He knows what is good for us and what is bad for us. So He has specified for us that these are the days or these are the occasions of celebrating.
At this point, Mulana, there is a misconception out there that celebrating is something different and not part of Islam, because you see, Mufti, what the point being made here, the point being made here is that there is a perception out there that Islam doesn't allow you to celebrate, you know. And celebrating in Islam has got a negative thing. What's your views on that?
See, as far as celebrations are concerned, then remember that as Muslims, we are unique. Our method of fasting is different. Our method of praying is different. Our method of joy, an occasion of joy, how to address it and how to be with it, that is also different. Our dressing is different, our speaking is different, our ibadat is different, our devotion is different. So, in every walk of life, in every aspect of life, including celebration, that we will celebrate it in a different way.
Okay, Mufti, now, given that today is the supposed birth date of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we find that there's a worldwide celebration of this particular event. Now, just to provide some light from your side, Mufti, what is it really that they are celebrating in your view? Are they celebrating the supposed birth, or are they celebrating an occasion that relates to other worldly events? Because you find everything is so commercialized, and you know.
As far as the birth of Hazrat Isa Alayhi Wasallam, Jesus Christ, that if you look at the history of Christianity recorded by the Christians themselves, then we will come to know that they themselves had to make a conference and a seminar to determine the date of birth, because some were celebrating it in January, others in May, others in June. So they themselves, not our research, their research, showing that they do not know exactly when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was born. Now if we have to go into the details of when he was born and the Christmas day and how it is linked, whether it is linked to pagan ideologies and concepts, that is a different discussion. But both these celebrations, the Christmas celebration and the now the New Year, the Millennium celebration, these are commercial activities. These are commercial enterprises. We have been informed by the media that especially the Millennium celebration, where they are going to have all these bashes and celebrations throughout the world, they are going to be selling so much alcohol that has never been sold before.
So, if I could ask Mufti, at this point in time, would I be incorrect to assume or say that they are actually taking celebration and they are contaminating it with batil, with fitna of alcohol, and furthering the fitna of jahiliyyah, ignorance.
You see, basically there are three things. One is wine, and the second one is music, and the third one is women. Now when we look at this WMW, and if you look at the celebrations which are non-Islamic, then you will find the overriding factors are these three: wine, alcoholism, drugs, intoxicants, freely made available, and also music. Now music, you will know better, Abdullah, you hosted a show on I think Rave or something.
Yes, inshallah, we'll bring that up later on in the show.
Now they got various types of music, and they promote these music festivals and music celebrations. And eventually both these, wine, alcoholism, intoxicant, drugs, lead to music. And music combined with intoxicant will lead to womanization and will lead to all the fornication, adultery, illicit relationship, intermingling of sexes. So if you look at these celebrations now, in our own country also, wherever these celebrations are taking place, and to cap it off, we have got now police protection so that this guna, this sin, and this evil can take place in comfort.
Inna lillahi.
So we have got these three things. In any celebration, if we look at any non-Islamic celebration, these three things you will see at the height. And in the name of liberalization, freedom, etc., they will have a lot of wine sold, alcohol sold, drugs moving around, and then yes, music. Music at its peak.
At its peak. So, Mufti, at this point, then, we are talking of celebration, and obviously there's a rejoice of some aspect, and we just spoke about now the birth of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So, to rejoice a birth like of a Nabi, like Nabi Isa alayhi salam, or even the birth of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is rather sad to note that today people who celebrate these things but promote fitna. And at this point in time, I would like to inform the listeners that you are most welcome to phone in on 854-6854 on the code 011. Mufti, at this point in time, we are in this celebration and all that in various spots in South Africa locally as well. Muslims congregate and they celebrate, from iftari till sehri, and New Year is coming up, and possibly that will occur at many places, be it the city center or be it a local center. What is the view of this? Why is it? There are two questions here. What is your view on this, Mufti, and why do you think it is occurring amongst the Muslims?
See, first of all, before I answer this question concerning that in various areas in South Africa we have these celebrations going on and a lot of un-Islamic activities taking place there.
Before we can take on the second part of the question, we have a brother, Yusuf from Lanesia. Yusuf, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Could you put the radio off, Yusuf? Yusuf has we'll ask Yusuf to call back. Mufti, back to the question then. Why is our condition there?
The celebrations. First of all, let me just explain the day of Eid. Now the day of Eid is coming. And on the day of Eid, after fasting for 30 days or 29 days, and in general in South Africa, everybody likes to see the moon very quickly, and we see, we have 29 days. Yeah. So generally, somehow the other South Africans, we don't fast 30 days, but maybe this year Eid, maybe on Sunday, then we'll fast 30 days.
Sure.
However, that on the day of Eid, now contrary to any other celebrations of any other nation, that we do not on the day of Eid start dancing, we do not take or consume alcohol or any sort of form of intoxicant, we do not lavishly have festivals and spending, we do not womanize, or we do not listen to music or have pop festivals. But contrary to that, I want you to understand this concept, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Eid has told us that you go and make two rakats extra salat. You go and make two rakats of extra salat, which is wajib, with six extra takbirs. Now this is the focal point I want you to understand about joy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a day of joy, a day of celebration. Now we do not go and get ourselves drunk or start quarreling and fighting with the neighbors and or getting ourselves in any illicit relationship. Absolutely. But Allah has given us the opportunity that express the joy by making two rakats more. By making two rakats more with six extra takbirs, and congregate and meet and go to the fields, perform the Eidgah.
So the
concept, understand very carefully, Abdullah, the listeners, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a day and given us how to spend this joyous occasion.
Mufti, the point is very well made. We have a caller on the line, an anonymous sister. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
I'd just like to know if you could tell me what is the significance of Eid.
You know the significance of Eid. Mufti, could you just elaborate on the point of the significance of Eid?
First of all, we must realize that Eid is a joyous occasion. And after fasting for 30 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a day of joy. A day where we are now so-called being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As per the likes of the hadith, the Eid is the day when the servant is receiving the wages. The slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is receiving the wages. So the day of Eid, which literally means the day which repeats itself. It comes, it goes, it comes back to us. It comes and goes, comes and goes. But in the light of Shariat, it is a day of joy. It is a day of getting our wages for 30 days of fasting. This wages, in reality, it will materialize when we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and when we reach the grave.
And on that point, sister, I would like to add that the month of Ramadan has been designed to maintain a balance between a material and the spiritual aspects of life. And the month is to maximize the ibadah. So Eid, alhamdulillah, is there to give us that opportunity as well to increase the ibadah, because when we account for our deen in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Mufti has said, then these occasions are going to be on our credit as well. Sister, does it answer your question there?
Yes, but I also have another question.
Yes.
Is it then haram for a Muslim to celebrate the new millennium?
Mufti, at that point, is it haram for a Muslim to celebrate the millennium?
The new millennium, understand this. First of all, as I explained about the birth of Isa alayhi salam, that the Christians themselves are confused when he was born. As far as the new millennium, as Abdullah read out the fatwa by Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that they themselves are not certain when the change of year took place. They are confused on their own calendars. However, in principle, understand this. To celebrate the new millennium is not Islamic, and we should not be partaking in the festivals or in the festive mood as exercised and presented by the non-Muslims. So as a Muslim, we have got nothing to do with the millennium celebration as such. Now some Muslim so-called countries are having these celebrations at Bash, but you and I know that they are being led by the nose in following the ways of the non-Muslims. So we should not celebrate the millennium.
Okay.
Sister, let me answer your question.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Mufti, you brought up an important point which I think needs more elaboration. Muslim countries, even happening locally as well, are being led by the nose to celebrate these occasions under the name of Islam. And please do call us on 854-6854, and we would entertain your call. We'd listen to you and provide good answers, inshallah. So Mufti, again, why do you think it's so easy for Muslim countries to be led by the nose to celebrate the so-called kuffar celebrations under the name of Islam?
Remember that I think also that these Muslim countries which are celebrating the millennium, they themselves are maybe forced to do that, and they are fooled by the commercial aspect. If you have to interview them, they will say that, you see, by us having this bash or this commercial exercise, then it brings in a lot of foreign currency. But in reality, that foreign currency brings in a lot of evil also. And with it, the saying goes that Jal Barad Mal Jubba,
that the cold, when the cold comes, the overcoat comes with it. So, as soon as you see the cold, you will get your overcoat. Now these celebrations, when they have them in their countries, these non-Muslims and the kuffar will come there, they will dress like they do not have money to buy clothing, and they will drink alcohol, and every sin which we can think of will be done there. And the Muslims around and staying in those cities will be influenced definitely by what is going around them. So on one side they got some so-called commercial benefit, but evil will be perpetrated, and the evil practices and the immoral practices and the immodest practices will be left behind, and the Muslims unfortunately will suffer that.
So Mufti, at this point in time, we'd like to mention to the listeners that keep phoning us on 011-854-6854. We continue now, Brother Muhammad from Malaysia. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Hello, Brother Muhammad.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum. Could you put your radio on, please?
Mufti Sahab. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to know, look, we are aware in these Muslim countries like Egypt, at the base of the pyramids, they're having this, this great bash. What are the ulama and the practicing Muslims in these countries doing to oppose this? Is there any news that they, we know that they are being labeled fundamentalists and they are being labeled as extremists. But what do you know, anything is being done to oppose from the minbar and from the masjid? I'll listen on the radio, Mulana.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. As far as we know, remember that wherever in the so-called Muslim countries these evil bashes are taking place, then the media is blocked. And those Muslims who are raising their voices against all the evil that is going in the country, that is not given media coverage. As a result, we who are sitting here in South Africa, we do not know what the ulama-e haq Rabbani of that country and what the sincere devout Muslims are doing. And definitely the Muslims who are sincere and devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they must be objective in raising their voices. But remember that these celebrations are done from the government level, and the government forces it upon the people there. As a result, the one who wants to raise the voice is subdued and is oppressed to such an extent that no media coverage is given on that.
Given that we have this situation in countries foreign to us, Mufti, at this point in time, I mean, in South Africa, we don't have the law of the land saying to us that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Yet we find in many places people are preparing for the millennium celebration and are going to flock towards it. Mufti, could you just give some background information, some Sharia ruling perhaps, as to what is the condition of that Muslim or those Muslims who give up their fast for the pleasure of the so-called celebrating of the millennium and so forth?
In fact, we are very fortunate this year that on one side we have this the Christmas, and on another side we have millennium, and on that night, most certainly it will be inshallah the 23rd night of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so merciful to the entire Muslim humanity, in fact to humanity at large, that on one side there is going to be so much evil perpetrated, and on the other side that the masajid and the homes would be making ibadat, because Laylatul Qadr, the possibility of Laylatul Qadr exists in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th. Now, here one point, that we must not take it for granted that Laylatul Qadr only falls on the 27th night.
That's a misconception out there.
Yes, that's a definite misconception, because the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear that it could be on one of the odd nights. That's one. And Allah has blessed us. Allah is so merciful that on the millennium night, that it is going to be the 23rd. So a Muslim must know and take full opportunity that this night could be possibly the night of Laylatul Qadr. As for the Muslim who discards fasting on that day, He's an open sinner, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person who does not fast without a valid excuse, even if he fasts throughout his entire life, will not be able to recompensate for that fast which he intentionally, willfully, without any valid excuse, missed. So how stern and strong is the warning that we cannot miss a fast without any valid excuse. Now, if a Muslim has to miss a fast for this celebration at this millennium, then definitely he is also being led by the nose in the kuffar culture. And also, a Muslim, during, for example, iftari time or after Taraweeh, he engages in a so-called celebration.
That would definitely happen, as we have seen last year as well, in certain areas, Mufti. So if you just continue on that point.
I'm not aware of what exactly happens in these areas, but I've been informed that there are certain activities taking place there. Abdullah, can you enlighten me whatsoever?
Mufti, I've also come across many incidents in some places after Taraweeh, after Iftar, they congregate at a particular city center or perhaps at a local place, and they have music being played and this being played, all under the name of Islam. And last year it occurred during the New Year, and I believe Sehri was made at this local place of people took that as this thing, as a token of celebration.
First of all, before we take the call out live, I think that I have also come to know that in various places in Mayfair, in Leeds, and in other areas, that there are certain areas that men, women, youngsters, male, female gather,
uh-huh,
and dancing takes place, and alcohol is being drunk, and music is being played. All this is done, eventually leading to illicit relationship and companionship. So, in principle, what I have mentioned to you, that wine, women, and music. Now, when these things combine in a celebration, one of that, or all three, intermingling of sexes, etc., then the celebration becomes totally haram, and a Muslim must not go near there.
Assalamu alaikum, an anonymous caller for us.
Wa alaikum salam. I have a question.
Ji.
I'll be sitting and watching the celebrations on television. I won't actually be partaking in the alcohol and the mixing of sexes. And
okay, you'll be watching it on television.
Yeah, I'll be watching
okay.
it on television.
All right.
Can I hear the answer on the radio?
Mufti has an interesting scenario here. The brother says he'll be watching the celebration on television but not participating physically in it. What's the understanding according to Sharia law there?
This hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you see an evil, then you're supposed to stop it by your hand. And if you cannot do so, then you're supposed to speak out against it. And if you cannot do so, then you must feel hurt in your heart, at least. And that feeling hurt, that is azaful iman, that is the weakest form of iman. Now, first of all, on the 23rd night, when there is a possibility that is Laylatul Qadr, to be watching television on that night and looking at the celebration, that is an exercise in futility and vain. And when you are going to see the sin that is going to be taking place, your responsibility should have been to stop that evil, not to see that evil. So definitely you should not be watching that.
Mufti, I think that brings to light many aspects which we'll bring up later in the show. Please call us on 854-6854 on the code 011. Mufti, at this point in time, I would like to mention something and perhaps bring the thing into motion. A talk show on rave was presented, and we had numerous callers, and alhamdulillah, through this association Shababul Islam, we've issued 535 questionnaires. And we hope to get some replies back. And one of the questions was there, what are you going to plan for the celebrations? And few of the answers that have come in was, we hope we can fight our nafs. Mufti, we have a caller now. Farid, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Could you speak louder, Farid, please?
Yeah, I have a question. I wonder if can you hear me now?
Yes, clearly.
I just want to know whether at this month and time, whether it's advisable for a Muslim to watch television.
Mufti, the point is about television.
As far as watching television in this month is definitely futile and vain. In fact, every day of our lives, that we should not waste our time. A Muslim must not waste his time. A Muslim must regard his time as valuable. And instead of a vain and futile activity where he has been indoctrinated and he is forced to see whatever they give him to see, he should not be watching this the television and wasting his time.
Farid, does it answer your question there?
Hello?
Hello, Farid, does it answer your question there?
No, that does answer my question. Jazakallah.
Mostly the point, I think, the people, the perception out there is that so long as you're not physically involved in evil, it's all right to be peaceably involved in evil. Again, bringing the issue of the lesser and minor and major evil. And that in itself is a topic on its own, because evil is evil. And well, sin is sin.
Before I comment on that, I worried about the youth. And the question that you raised via Shabab al-Muslimin, that we should definitely abstain from sin, and the method of abstaining from sin is to recognize the sin as the sin.
Absolutely.
To recognize the sin as the sin first, that you have your battle is won.
So, Sister Rukaya, assalamu alaikum. Sister Rukaya hung up, inshallah, she'll call back. We've received a question via the fax from an anonymous sister, and she asks the Mufti, certain people in Mayfair are planning to hold zikr gathering on the night of millennium. What is the Mufti's comment? You prefer to give comment here?
To organize something, for example a zikr gathering, and regard it as ibadat, then first of all you must realize that deen is complete, deen is perfect, and the method of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been stipulated in the Shariat. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and completed the deen for us. Sahaba Ikram, companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, practiced upon the deen. Now when they did not organize zikr gatherings in the nights and in the nights of the odd nights of Ramadan, then we have got no authority to do so, because the deen has been completed and the way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been specified and the way to get the proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been stipulated. So we should not now concoct or fabricate a method thinking that we are doing a good action. Meanwhile, this action is not approved in Shariat, although zikr in itself is good. So you should go home and make zikr and read Durood Sharif, read Quran, gather your family, make some nafil ibadat. That all has been proven. But to congregate on a specific night, specifically for a specific action, that has not been proven.
So if at this point in time, alhamdulillah, the sister managed to bring up what you were supposed to bring up right now, is asking the callers out there, what are they going to be doing on the night of the 23rd or when New Year's Eve breaks its call to us? And at this point in time, Mufti, given that what you said can create controversy, people might confuse what you're saying with the hanker, but that's a discussion on its own again. Mufti, at this point in time, I would like to pose the scenario. A father tells the son, don't go to this place and don't do this and don't do that. And the son happens to go to these celebrations with the friends and all that. And assuming there's a death there, what is the condition of a person dying in that type of an environment?
Obviously, a person who is going into that environment, that is totally a haram environment, and he dies in that environment, naturally is not going to have a good death. That's number one. Secondly, that to die in a good place, a person that should die in Arafat or die in Makkah or die in Medina, he feels happy about it, and his relatives, although they grieve for a while, but then they console themselves saying that our father or mother or brother passed away in Medina or Makkah or Arafat. But a person now, imagine he dies in a gambling den, or dies in a casino, or dies en route to a casino or a gambling den, or he dies in one of these festival parties, then let alone that the bad death, the evil place and the evil environment, that the embarrassment which is going to cause to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will suggest, that this is the age of talking and explaining, that the parent has to explain to the youth, the child, the son and the daughter, that these are sins. We'll go back to what I was stating.
Exactly.
That we must realize that there are good actions and there are sins, and you must know what is good and what is a sin.
Assalamu alaikum, assist on the line.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Malana, I would like you to explain to our listeners how our people are so fond of referring to our great day of Eid as Christmas. They so very often say to the non-Muslims that tomorrow is our Christmas, and I feel that that is very wrong.
That's a good point.
Jazakallah.
It's a good point. This is a brings up here. Inshallah, Mulana will bring up the point of actually talking more of this issue of wishing a person Merry Christmas as well.
Yes. What has been stated that by maybe due to inferiority complex, or due to confusion in the mind, or due to maybe simplicity, we have to try to explain to the maid or to the workers that see, this Eid is our Christmas. In fact, Eid is not our Christmas, because the connotations and the activities attached to Christmas are completely different from what is attached to Eid. Eid is the day for us, the day of joy, the day of rejoicing, the day of earning our sawabs, and the day of more ibadat, the day of visiting the ones which are less fortunate, the day of helping. For example, I would like to explain that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stressed that we give our sadaqat al-fitr. And we give our sadaqat al-fitr before we go to the musalla, the Eidza. And we do this so that the underprivileged, that the poor and the destitute and the widow and those who are entitled to receive zakat, obviously are not in a powerful financial position, they are able to benefit from this money. And they are able to also have something good to eat and have something good to wear. Remember, one misconception. And this misconception has led to a lot of financial loss and a lot of financial debt and also chaos in families. That on Eid day, it is not faraz or wajib to or sunnah to buy new clothing. The stipulation is to have clean clothing, to have neat clothing, to have good clothing so that you appear well. Not that you have to have new, you have to have new shoes, new socks, new trousers, new outfit, new garment. And as a result, that a person who is not financially able, he has to spend 800 rand, 1000 rand on each child, on each of his children. As a result, that person goes into debt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made shariah like that.
Mufti, at this point in time, bring up the issue that celebration for a Muslim should be more a devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not actually getting crazy with spending, buying designer items, as you mentioned. And our Muslim people as well, and I would like a comment here, that we thrive, we are saying, the Millennium Eid shopping, Millennium Umrah being advertised. What does this tell you about our mindset as Muslims regarding celebrations as well?
As I explained, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make 2 rakat extra salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to give sadaqat al-fitr so that the underprivileged may benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shariat in the sunnah is explained that we should dress properly, attire ourselves well, and put iftar and go to the musalla. So it is not necessary that we have new clothing, put ourselves in difficulty, put our families and parents into difficulty, put our father who is just making ends meet into difficulty, and go into debt. Debt which will last the entire year. Then, unfortunately, what happens many times, that the person is in debt and he disappears into going to Umrah, he's gone for Hajj, and he's going to do some daily activity, meanwhile he's in debt. This is totally unbecoming of a Muslim, that he is in debt and he decides to do some other Islamic activity.
Alhamdulillah, please do call us on 854-6854. We're talking celebrations. Mufti, at this point in time, given that celebration for a Muslim should be a devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as mentioned, what do you make of a scenario like this? A brother who works for a Muslim closes his shop on Christmas, like today,
that opens on Eid Day and he commands his staff, please do come in, or something like that. What is the mindset again that you can say about the Muslim?
First of all,
let's just take the call and inshallah we take that call. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam. I would like to ask, is it true that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away on the same day he was born? How come some people celebrate his birth and death?
Mufti, talking of the celebration of the birth and death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is one narration that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dates of his death and the date of his passing away and the date of his birth are similar, are same. That is correct. And as far as the celebrations on his birthday, that is a lengthy discussion. We'll leave that inshallah for another time. However, in principle, you must realize that we should be worried of how to follow Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and imitate him, emulate him. And in Islam, we do not, in principle, have celebrations of birthdays.
Just to add to that, sister, in my understanding and in reading many hadith and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never did I come across a reading or a chapter where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually celebrated his birthday, but made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a longer life. William, does that answer questions? We have two other callers on the line. Okay. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. Muhammad?
Perhaps you'll get the other call.
Shamima, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Mufti. Every year during Eid, the younger generation seem to go to Zoo Lake on Eid Day. What is your opinion about this? Do you agree with this thing that they all go there?
What actually happens at Zoo Lake?
Shamima, could you just enlighten us further, because it was a point we were bringing up as well later. Could you just elaborate further, please, Shamima?
Okay, the people go there, well, mostly the younger generation. They bring their cars, girlfriends, all the boys and girls mix together, wear their smart clothes and walk around. That's what happens.
And there's an open display of each other's clothing and intermingling of the sexes, so Islam is not per se being reflected.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Mufti, your comment there?
See, as far as the Zoo Lake is concerned, or any other lake, or any other venue where these activities take place that you have mentioned, the youngsters or the youth go there with their cars and play their music so loudly. First of all, to do any action boastfully, that is un-Islamic. Secondly, that to go and play music is haram, and to go and play it and listen to it is haram. And to make others listen, that is also haram. And to play it loudly and causing inconvenience to another Muslim, that is also haram. Then to go there with the so-called girlfriends, etc., that is most disgusting to note and to hear also that this goes on there. Now, once again, the rule which I was explaining, that when you have music and you have intermingling of sexes, then womanization, illicit relationship starts. All this is totally forbidden in Islam, totally impermissible in Islam. And then to dress up and display the fineries and display the body contours and to wear transparent clothing, etc., that is absolutely prohibited in Sharia. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated there will come a time when the women will be dressed but undressed. Dressed, but in reality they will be wearing nothing. So this will refer to those tight-fitting clothing, whether this is with the males and the females. The dress, the code of dress, does not only apply to females, but it applies to the males as well. And the males are guilty of taking the females to these gatherings and to go there and listen to music and display their fineries.
Mostly there are various points which we want to bring up as we do discuss, but last year I recall in the Sunday papers, is it the Metro and the Sunday Times Extra as well, where the Muslims were actually photographed in their cars and a, you know, very open display of their you know, what you call fitna was shown under the name of Islam. And I'd just like to mention with what Mufti spoke about devotion. I recall in the time of the Battle of Uhud, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they celebrated at the fact that they could become a martyr.
because they understood, as the hadith was quoted at the beginning of this show, that they celebrated the meeting of the Lord.
That was their joy.
That was their joy.
Sahaba al-Kiram loved martyrdom, and for them that was joy, that was celebration, meeting with Rabb. As the hadith stated, that the mu'min has got two occasions of joy. One is the time of iftari. Time of iftari, mu'min is going to be rewarded now. And
but when we go to the Samus and Bajr,
yes, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things in Shariat, the reward is rare and mahdood, is unlimited. Two things. One is the reward for fasting, and secondly, the reward for sabr. These two, the reward is unlimited in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every other devotion, the rewards have been stipulated and stated. But now this person, he at the time of iftari, he is so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him permission now to open his fast.
Allahu Akbar. Said martyrdom,
he's joining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to meet his creator, his Rabb. So that is why this joy, and the hadith, you know that when the Sahaba Ikram when they were pierced by spears, then the blood should shoot out. Not ooze out, but shoot out. And this, the medical practitioners say that when blood shoots out of a person, then that is the body was in the state of calm and joy.
Allahu Akbar. Brother AK, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. May I speak to Mufti
Sahib?
Mufti Sahib, just confirmation, perhaps I misread or misunderstood you with regard to zikr.
Yes.
On those odd nights, I think just millennium, whatever this thing is called, millennium bug, or the millennium party is falling on the 23rd,
yes,
which is an odd night.
Yes.
Do I read you correctly when you, or did I understand you correctly, rather, that you said that we should not have these zikrs in the masajids, or that we should rather have it at home with our families or so?
I am saying that in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmain, there was no organized zikr sessions in the masjid. So at home, I'm saying that you go gather your family and let them make zikr, read the Rood Sharif individually. So that will be, that is proven, a nafil ibadat at home is proven. But collectively, to have a zikr function in the masjid is not proven in the light of Shariat. Sahaba Ikram never do it.
Jazakallah for that confirmation, Molana. I must have misunderstood you. Nevertheless, another one, Molana,
yes,
with regard to this millennium thing, I think if I may make a suggestion, is that the code of conduct of our youth,
gee,
should be taken into account from a very, very, very early age. There's no sense, you know, when he or she is now 16 or 18,
gee,
then we want to tell him, don't go to the Zulaik, don't attend this millennium bug. Today is the millennium thing.
Yeah.
In a year or two or 5 years time or 10 years time, it could be some other millennium thing or some other crazy thing. And then what? So it is the duty of every parent right now, starting now, while we're listening to yours, to the radio station, to teach our children what is right, like you said, the right or the wrong, which is a sin. Finish and clear. No ifs, no buts. If it's a sin, it's a sin.
Yes.
And if it's not a sin, it's not a sin. That's the end of it.
Okay.
And we teach the kids there and then.
I'm happy what you say.
That's very true. Yeah.
Because what you are saying is correct, and I appreciate your comment. And your stand is an Islamic stand when you say that a sin is a sin, and a good action is a good action, which I will stress it. And inshallah, what you are stating about a code of conduct, then give us some time, inshallah, we will come up with this. And as you have rightly said, that today is the millennium, and this millennium, you and I know, it is a commercial enterprise. It is a commercial exercise. And when the commercial world has passed the millennium and seen the prophet, so-called, they will decide somehow or the other to make another function. And they will give it another name.
If I may just come in there, you know,
okay,
next year, this time, I was going to have a repeat of the first millennium or something.
The point is valid, A.K., in the sense that, you know, we are fighting sort of a mountain of evil, and it's upon our practices and upon the way we are brought up that we combat this evil. And alhamdulillah, you make the comments very true.
they may decide to say it's 1 year after the millennium.
I have another question. What I'm trying to clarify here, Malana,
yes,
that we should, with the kids right now,
gee,
the children,
yes,
whether they're 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or whatever the case may be, you know, start now. I mean, Malana, maybe, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me, perhaps you could advise me on the station, on the air, maybe this would help other parents also. Yesterday, being the 15th of Rosa, my little daughter, she's under 8. She, we tried, you know, I spoke to you on your previous show, where we said we will have this competition,
yes,
12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember that.
There was some gas or some crazy thing in the fridge.
Yes.
Because of that, she broke a Rosa at about approximately 12 o'clock.
Yes.
And as a father, I was a bit, would rather say sad than upset.
Yes.
Because I was also a kid, and these things did attack us when we were little. Now, what I'm trying, my point is coming back to it.
Yes.
Code of conduct, when a child is small, you teach them not ajitabon lache.
Yes.
Then when they 16 or 18 and they do crazy things, then we go to the Molana, so Molana give some tavis for this child.
No, it's true, because AKA, you say, you can't bend a crooked tree, you know.
Exactly.
If a tree has grown crooked, you can't bend it.
While I met this, let me just comment here. See, for example, we encourage our children to read Quran Karim, and we encourage them to read Surah Yasin. Now, that remember this very clearly, that the child must be encouraged to read the Quran and must be explained the virtues and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also explain the reward which the child is getting. Now, if, for example, if the child is naughty or if the child is misbehaved, and you tell the child, listen, go read Quran, then psychologically the child feels that no, this Quran is a punishment for me.
Yes.
This is not right, because this is giving a wrong perception in the mind of the child. But we should encourage the child that, well, listen, you read Quran, Allah will be happy. You fast, Allah will be happy. You behave well, Allah will be happy. And the child must be directly contacted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Does it answer your question? You have other callers in the line?
Absolutely, brother. There's only one thing, if I may add. I've mentioned it many times.
Yes.
It is a learning station.
Yes.
But we should say it's a learning station for the nation. Jazakallah.
Wa alaikum salam. Jazakallah for that praise. Brother Musa, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. On the position about Zuleik.
Yes.
I want to bring also to the parents' notice.
Hey, could you talk louder, Brother Musa?
That on each day, there are non-Muslim Indians also taking part in the celebrations. So you can't differ, you can't make out who is a Muslim and who is a non-Muslim. These non-Muslims are just waiting to interfere with the Muslim girls. What I'm saying is,
I understand. I understand what you say.
Besides Muslims gathering, there are non-Muslims as well there, and you can't differentiate who is a Muslim and who is a non-Muslim.
Absolutely.
Parents should take precaution and stay away from that place.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely. The point that you have raised is valid.
Yes.
Because there are people out there like vultures.
Yes.
And they are there to spoil the dignity, chastity, honor, izzat of Muslim females. And unfortunately, news has reached us that in certain areas, including the Zoo Lake, the let alone non-married Muslims, females, married Muslims also are running loose and behaving very badly, immodestly, and immorally. And non-Muslims take advantage over this. And now, because our country is the country freedom nation, everything is happening under the sky. So we should be cautious, and we should cautious ourselves firstly, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ourselves firstly, contain and maintain our children and our family members.
Mufti, thanks for that. I made the comment came through that is it necessary for Muslims to keep their staffing on each day yet closed on the day of Christmas?
If you understand this, the Christmas is a government public holiday. So the shop owner, he is forced and obliged by the government, from the government side, to give that the staff holiday. And whereas Eid day is not a government holiday. We are not in an Islamic state or Muslim state. So the shop owner, he can decide and he can decide whether he was going to open the shop firstly or close it completely. He can decide whether he is going to open his shop partially for a few hours after Eid or close it partially. So the prerogative is in the hands of the owner. And if he has the worker coming to work, then the worker should come to work and not regard the shop owner as oppressive. Yes, for compatibility and for harmony and for cooperation, we can advise the shop owner